Blessed are you who are poor, hungry, sad, and expendable. Woe to you who are rich, full, happy, and popular. Blessed. In ancient times, Makarios referred to the gods. The blessed ones were the gods. They had achieved a state of happiness and contentment in life that was beyond all cares, labors, and even death itself. The blessed ones were beings who lived up there in some other world. To be blessed, you had to be a god. In time, that word took on a second meaning. It referred to the dead. The blessed ones were humans who, through death, had reached the other world of the gods. They were now beyond the cares of earthly life. To be blessed, you had to be dead. In Greek usage, the word came to refer to the elite, the upper crust of society, the wealthy people. It referred to those whose riches and power put them above the normal cares and worries of the lesser folk, the peons, who constantly struggle and worry and labor and toil in life. To be blessed, you had to be very rich and powerful. When this word Makarios was used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it took on another meaning. It referred to the results of right living or righteousness. If you lived right, you were blessed. Being blessed meant you received earthly, material things, such as a good wife, many children, abundant crops, riches, honor, wisdom, beauty, good health, etc., etc. Blessed person had more things and better things than the ordinary person. To be blessed, you had to have big and beautiful things. In all of these meanings, the blessed ones existed on a higher plane than the rest of the people. They were gods. They were humans who had gone to that other world of the gods. They were the wealthy, the upper crust. They were those with many possessions. Jesus, in our reading for today, uses this word in a totally different way. It is not the elite who are blessed. It is not the rich and the powerful who are blessed. It is not the high and mighty who are blessed. It is not the people living in huge mansions or expensive penthouses who are blessed. Rather, Jesus pronounces God's blessings on the lowly, the poor, the hungry, the crying, and the hated. Throughout the history of this world, it had always been the other people who were considered blessed, the rich, the filled up, the laughing. Jesus turns it all upside down, a complete inversion of the world that most had come to know it. The elite in God's kingdom, the blessed ones in God's realm, are those who are at the bottom of the heap of humanity. Blessed are you who are poor, hungry, sad, and expendable. Woe to you who are rich, full, happy, and popular. A world turned upside down. An economy of blessing that sounds simply ludicrous. A reordering of priority and privilege that the church has found awkward and even offensive for centuries. Unlike Saint Matthew, who softens things a bit by writing poor in spirit instead of poor, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness instead of plain old hungry, Saint Luke keeps Jesus' sermon on the plain raw, terse, and close to the bone. There's no way around it. As far as Luke's Jesus is concerned, God's favor does not rest on the well-fed, the well-off, and the well-liked. It rests on those who have absolutely nothing to fall back on but God. No line of credit, no nest egg, no fan base, no immunity, nothing. If you want to know where God's heart is, St. Luke insists, look to the world's most reviled, the wretched, the starving, the grieving, the shamed, and the desperate people. They are the fortunate ones. They are the blessed ones on whom God's promise of more and better rests. In a reflection on Jesus' upside-down kingdom, Frederick Buechner writes this: "The world says, mind your own business. Jesus says, there is no such thing as your own business. The world says, follow the wisest course and be a success. Jesus says, follow me and be crucified. The world says, drive carefully. The life you may save may be your own. While Jesus says, whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The world says, law and order. Jesus says, the law of love. The world says, get. Jesus says, give. In the terms of the world, Jesus is completely absurd. And anybody who thinks they can follow him without being a little bit absurd is laboring less under a cross than under a delusion." This, my friends, is not blessing as health, wealth, and happiness. This is a teaching so costly, so soul-rattling, so unpalatable that most of us would do anything to domesticate it, or to plain out, ignore it. As the prophet Jeremiah alluded to, it all comes down to our trust in God. Those who place their trust in mere mortals, to stretch it a bit further, those who place their trust in mammon, those who place their trust in the almighty dollar, are like shrubs in the desert. Those who place their trust in God are like a tree planted near water, one continually nourished by the Lord, even when, and Jesus implies that the when will most certainly come, when the heat, the rejection, the pain, the hardship, when this comes, they are still found producing or bearing good fruit. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Plain, is bringing comfort to the afflicted, yet at the same time holding a mirror to the faces of the haughty. If we find ourselves hearing the words of woe, how are we to trust God when we deem ourselves full? How are we to rely on God when we see ourselves as fully sufficient? Especially since most of the time it doesn't even occur to us that we would be completely lost, utterly and wholly lost, physically and spiritually, without the grace that sustains us. So here, Jesus calls the crowds, the disciples, as well as us, to reimagine God's blessedness. To reimagine what the Christian life looks and feels like when God becomes our everything, our go-to, our starting and ending place. What it looks and feels like to admit the limitations to our privilege. What it looks and feels like to notice the obfuscating power of plenty that blinds us to our very own emptiness. What it looks and feels like to recognize the radical counterintuitiveness of God's priorities and promises, especially in contrast to, as Jeremiah puts it, our devious hearts. Blessed are you who are poor, hungry, sad, and expendable. Woe to you who are rich, full, happy, and popular. My friends, may we trust in the absurdity of a God who turns the world upside down, the one who reimagines and reconstructs the ladder of society, the one through whom we find our very life, our nourishment, and the grace that sustains us. Amen.